86 Productions.
Junkies, it's Cheyenne. It's time for everyone's favorite podcast show, It Burns When I Pee, with your host, Blake Clayton. Episode 1 is brought to you by those freaks at 86 Productions. And now, here's Blake.
Thank you, Cheyenne. And yes, this is Blake Clayton, and you are listening to It Burns When I Pee, brought to you by 86 Productions. Just to tell you a little bit about what my podcast is going to be like, I'm hoping to feature some quote-unquote underground country artists and some other kind of musical genres. And we're going to, of course, slap in some phony phone calls, possibly, and do some comedy sketches and even some sports. So, really glad to have you here, and I hope you like the show. And let's start it off with our very first guest ever here on It Burns When I Pee, Mr. Joey Alcorn.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Blake Clayton at It Burns When I Pee, and I got on the phone here Joey Alcorn. How you doing, Joey?
Pretty good. How about you, man?
Pretty good. Joey's got a new album out called 50 Years Too Late, and I've had the pleasure of meeting Joey and listening to him sing, and really, really like his music, and I thought that he'd be the perfect guest for our first episode here. So, we're going to run through some questions, Joey, and just kind of go with the flow?
All right, that'll work.
All right. So, where are you from?
Well, originally from Columbus, Georgia, which is nowhere. There's nothing here. There's no reason for anybody to come visit it. And we leave here as much as possible and play here as little as possible.
There you go. How long have you been playing music, like the guitar and such?
Been playing guitar since I was about 14. And originally started out playing the violin in sixth grade when I had general music. And so I learned on that and then went over to playing guitar and then learned a little bit on the upright bass and the piano as I went along and just go from there and hoping to learn steel guitar one of these days.
So you can play other instruments then besides just the guitar. You're playing some other stuff then too, huh?
Yeah, pretty much anything with strings I can figure out. I still ain't never figured out drums, though.
Yeah, I don't have the rhythm for it. So what were some of your early musical influences?
Well, growing up in the 80s, I grew up with my grandparents, and so on the radio, you know, when I was in the car, it was always, you know, George Jones and Johnny Cash and Hank Jr. and, you know, some Merle Haggard and those kind of guys, and, you know, then Garth Brooks and, you know, Clint Black and Alan Jackson and all those guys got big in the early 90s, and that was kind of when I started getting into rock myself and, you know, listening to Nirvana and Weezer and Pantera, Alice in Chains, just, you know, the big bands of the early 90s there, and listened to them until they all kind of faded away and broke up, and then started making my own music because I didn't like anything I was hearing anymore.
Right. So there's a large gamut, you know, from, like I said, George Jones to Pantera. There's a lot of stuff in between, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I think most people I come in contact with these days are like that. You very rarely find anybody nowadays that says, well, I just like this one kind of music, or I just like, you know, new country, or I just like rock or something.
Sure.
You know, most people nowadays are pretty open to that because growing up in the 90s, we were exposed, you know, to a lot of stuff, you know, at the same time. There was a lot of stuff going on in the early 90s.
Yeah, it was that, you know, there was seemed like a, you know, there was different music coming out of everywhere. Like you said, you know, the Garth Brooks and the Clint Blacks came out and,
oh, yeah,
and country.
Those guys revolutionized, you know, country for what it was worth. And, you know, the rock scene was revolutionized by Nirvana, and Pantera was, you know, bringing back metal. And, you know, it's just everything in the early 90s was kind of getting revitalized. And then the mid 90s, I don't know what happened. It all just kind of stopped.
All kind of fell apart.
Yep.
So when did you decide to make music your career and actually, you know, try to earn a living by going out and doing it?
Well, I don't know. I try to do that. It's kind of hard to do these days. But, you know, just, I don't know. I mean, I knew from the time I was, you know, 16, 17 that that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, just writing songs and things like that. You know, when you're sitting there writing stuff and, you know, you want people to hear it. You know, so the only way that people are going to hear your music is if you go out there and record it and play it and, you know, expose people to it, so.
Definitely. So, you know, like you said, you're recording it. You have have an album out called 50 Years Too Late. Now, is that your first album, full album?
The one that we've done that we put a lot of work into and a lot of money and everything. And, you know, I'm real happy with the way it turned out. We got a lot of real good musicians on there, and a couple of my friends, you know, doing songs with me. And, you know, everybody's been very well received by the critics and by the fans and everything, so we're real happy with it.
Right. I really like it because it has, you know, the traditional sound, you know, and it has that kind of rockabilly sound in some songs, and you know, and even like in Graveyard Bound, you kind of get a little metalish in a way, you know.
A little bit, but you know, that's just, you know, I just wanted it to be, you know, in case that was the only record I ever made, I just wanted it to kind of encompass everything that I'm about, you know. And that's why, you know, you have songs on there like I Never Will Again, you know, that's kind of like a Nirvana influenced grunge kind of sound thing. And you know, you got the straight up old school Hank Senior Webb Pierce sound and stuff, and
sure,
you know, just a lot of different moods on that record. But you know, I believe that's how any record should be, because if you buy a record, who wants to hear the same song 13 times with the same musicians and, you know, the same stuff over and over? That gets pretty boring.
Yeah, and I think in nowadays, in I guess you call the mainstream music, that's kind of what you get. I think nowadays it's, you do get 13 songs of pretty much the same thing, you know. So
right.
it's refreshing to hear an album that you know, has a lot of variety to it and a lot of different emotions. And that's, I think, for me, that's where I like a lot of the traditional stuff, like Waylon and Hank Williams Senior, of course, just because,
you know, and that comes from, and you know, a lot of guys nowadays like Wayne Hancock and Dale and everybody, you know, people like us, I guess, you know, the underground country scene, I mean, we're writing songs that we like. We're not writing songs to please some record label or to please this, you know, this segment of the market, you know. It's like there's, you know, there's a song out now by Brad Paisley, something about undressing a girl, getting ticks off of her or something.
Yeah.
Some kind of strange song. And, you know, I mean, that's going to appeal to a bunch of your, you know, redneck, you know, country college frat boy types, I guess. But,
right.
You know, there's a lot of guys out there, too, that aren't going to give a shit about that.
Exactly. Exactly. So, on the new album, who are some of the people that make guest appearances on the album?
Of course, Hank III is singing This Ain't Montgomery with me, and Lonesome Wyatt and the Minister from Those Poor Bastards are on Graveyard Bound. Donnie Herron from BR549 is on the fiddle. Andy Gibson from Shelton's Band is on the steel. And Walter Cunningham is in there playing piano on one song, and he is a pretty accomplished studio guy in Nashville. And back in the 80s, he was on the road with George Jones and Johnny Cash and a bunch of guys like that.
Wow, so you've got a lot of different people that helped you and kind of got in the mix with you. So that's pretty awesome. So did you write or co-write most of the songs on the album?
Yeah, I wrote all the songs on this album, and the only one I wasn't hands-on involved with was Graveyard Bound. I just did my lyrics and the guitar and sent that to Lonesome Wyatt and said, make it,
there you
use it. So he's pretty much responsible for that one in the way of how it sounds. But, yeah, pretty much everything else on there, you know, I was very hands-on with, you know, from writing it to producing it to playing on it. I mean, I play upright bass on the record and lead guitar on a couple of them, so you know, it's just all about, you know, getting your own style in your own music.
Sure. And so if you had to pick one song, I know this is a hard kind of question to ask, but if you had to pick one song personally that you and you like the best and like to perform the best or feel that, you know, is best written by you, which song would you pick on that album?
Well, one of my favorite ones on there is a beautiful one called So Say Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't get very much attention from the radio or the press or anything, but I just always really liked that song. Because I like it, I reckon.
Yeah, it's a good song. And one of my other, like, the other one of my favorites is Like I Never Will Again. That's just, I don't know, I just really like the lyrics of it and like the sound of it. And so
when I wrote that song, I was writing a song about a breakup and then decided to put the heavy part in there. Just came about because, you know, when you go through a breakup, you go through moves where you're sad about it and you get mad about it. So that song kind of, you know, has that feeling to it. It's real pretty and sad, and then the next time, it's, you know, he's pissed off.
Yeah, and it can tell it in the song how, you know, you're going along and you're thinking, yeah, I can relate, and then you know, the guitar goes in and the drums go in, and you go, yeah, exactly.
Right.
So
that's kind of the idea on that one.
So what? Where can people get the CD?
You can get get it on a CD, baby. A lot of people buy it overseas off of that site, and you can get it from my website, joeyalcorn.com, or you can just download it on iTunes, which is easy, and everybody pretty much uses that kind of stuff nowadays.
Sure. Now, you said you've got a lot of songs played on the radio from this album. Like, is that in your area, or?
That's all over the world.
Is it? Awesome.
Yeah, we get a lot of airplay overseas. I just signed a couple of pictures last week and sent to Paris, France, where they was giving them away as prizes on the air.
Oh, wow.
Some kind of radio contest, and you could win an autographed Joey Alcorn picture.
Sweet. Now, have you been overseas and played yet, or?
No, we're talking about doing that later this year, hopefully.
That's
around sometime October or November, maybe we'll be over there.
I think that's probably a lot of details to get that tour done with, you know, all the flights and, you know, going places you've never been and stuff, and not knowing, you know, if this hotel or this hotel, you just kind of go with probably what.
Then you can't communicate with the people there. You speak multilingual languages.
But then, you know, then when you get on stage and you start singing, and, you know, you see the people probably sing back to you the words, and that's
right.
That's just kind of, that makes it all world worth it, probably.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Dale Watson's huge over there, mm-hmm. you know, and Hank 3, you know, and just, you know, Robbie Foulkes, all those guys are just really big over there for some reason. Those people are just more in tune with what's going on musically than people here.
Sure. So, how long has this album been out?
That will come out October 3rd, so I guess almost about 6 months now.
6 months, and you, are you working on some new material for a possible new album coming out later on, or?
Oh yeah, we're ready to cut the next one out. The next one will be called Honky Tonk Hell.
Honky Tonk Hell. And do you have like a tentative kind of like month or something your guys are planning on having that done, or?
Well, depending on how much touring we do the rest of this year, I'd like to have it out spring of next year. But if we end up doing too much touring this year, I may have to wait to record it till early next year and get it out maybe summer, fall. The next one, you know, just depends.
Sure. And so you've said there's been plans of going on over, you know, overseas possibly on tour, but do you have any definite tour like runs that you're going to be having anytime soon?
Oh yeah, we're kicking off the end of June and into early July. We'll be hitting the Midwest. We'll be hitting, I know for sure, Arkansas, around Memphis, Tennessee, Alabama, Kansas City, Missouri, all up in that part of the country, probably in your area in Illinois there.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, probably. I think Peoria might be on there on the list.
Oh, really?
And then we'll come home for about 2 or 3 weeks to wrap that one up in Nashville and doing another show called The Spirit of the Outlaws, where we play with Waylon Jennings' band up there, and they just do kind of a all-night tribute to the Waylon and Hank Jr. and Chris Christopherson and all those sort of guys.
Sure.
Then we'll come home for a couple weeks, and then we're going back up to New York and go up there for about a month and come back home, and then I think we're hitting Texas, and then after that I think we're looking at a overseas thing.
Wow, so you pretty much got the rest of the year pretty much planned out, it seems like. Or pretty close.
Much. We're just waiting to get all the dates together and get everything to come through and ready to hit the road.
That sounds great. So if... The next question I had written down is, what is your opinion of the state of Nashville in regards to, you know, the music scene? And I think, you know, we could probably talk for hours, you know, on the different aspects of it. But, you know, with your experience, what do you see Nashville and the quote-unquote, you know, corporate record labels, how do you see that situation going on right now?
Well, the biggest problem to me that I see with it is that the music is targeted to one demographic. They target, you know, 40-year-old married women, and I mean that's who's listening to it. You know, and I think it's like 80% or 90% of country records are sold at Walmart, and that's exactly why. You go to Walmart and look around, who's shopping there?
Right.
You know, it's all soccer mom type, you know, deals. And, you know, I mean, even the songs that are geared toward men nowadays, you know, when's the last time you heard a song like Whiskey Bent and Hellbound, or a song where a guy was talking about some chick cheating or something? They're just not allowed to do that anymore.
Right.
And, you know, you got one girl out now, you know, singing that song about bashing some guy's car before he cheats, you know. Well, you know, where's the dude at talking about killing the bitch?
Exactly.
So that's, you know, that's the kind songs I'm trying to write. I'm trying to write the other side. I'm not against pop country in the way that, you know, they should do away with it. Because, I mean, there are people that do like it and want to buy it. But don't shut down the real stuff for that bullshit. Don't hold us back from doing what we want to do and what we want to say because you got all these soccer moms that are buying this stuff.
Yeah, and they're buying the $70 ticket and the $35 shirt to go see all the lights and stuff. You know, it seems.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, and people that listen to Hank Williams and Johnny Cash, they can't afford that.
Right.
You know, and I mean, you know, if they want to come out and see a good country show, well, I guess that's why it's a good thing why there's guys like Dale Watson out there that you can still go see for $5 or $10.
Right. And then, you know, what I've noticed in the time, you know, that I've seen. You know, I've went and seen Hank 3 play a few times, and, you know, I've paid $15 for the ticket, you know, filled the tank up $20 to go see him, you know, and stood right in the front row for, you know, 2.5 hours, you know what I mean? But I've also been on the other gamut, you know, took the wife to Chicago to see Kenny Chesney, and it just seemed, there was such a disconnect, you know, and that's, for me, that's what the part of it that, you know, bothers me is there is no connect between, you know, the audience and the performer, in my opinion.
Well, those guys don't even know who they're on stage with. They don't even know their band.
Right.
So, you know, they just come out there and they don't know from one night to the other who's there. They're just flown in and they go up there and do what they do and they sit on their bus and eat a pizza and they fly somewhere else.
Right. And they don't even probably know what city they're in half of the time, right?
I doubt it.
So, who in the industry right now, you know, I know you mentioned like Dale Watson and Wayne Hancock. Who are some of your mentors that, you know, you look up to that are in the industry now?
Well, I'd say the number one guy I look up to is probably Dale because, you know, he's been doing this for years. You know, I think he cut his first record in the 80s and, you know, he's still out there doing it. And he was actually born in Birmingham, Alabama, so he's from this part of the country. And, you know, I know he lived in Nashville for a while and went out to Austin and he's still there, you know, and he's still doing it and still making it. And, yeah, I think he's a great writer, he's a great musician, a great performer. Behind him, probably Robbie Foulkes. And another fabulous songwriter, a great guitar player. And, you know, he said, fuck Nashville, and he went up to Chicago, and he's still there doing his thing today. And, you know, in my opinion, he put out the best record of last year with Georgia Hard. That's just a great country record.
Awesome. So, you know, like I said earlier in the interview, you know, I first met you on the New Year's Eve party at the Hank Williams Museum in Montgomery, Alabama. Now, do you do a lot of stuff for them and perform a lot at their functions?
Well, I have through the years. When I turned 16, I started running over there when they opened that thing, and I've been going to it ever since. It was nothing but a table with some T-shirts for sale.
Right.
And I've just known them, you know, for 10 years now, and you know, I've always gone over there and played events for them and things up at the cemetery and stuff. And, you know, I probably always will because, you know, without Hank Sr., I would have never wanted to do this or started doing this. So, you know, I'll always feel, you know, that I need to pay respects to him in that way. And, you know, if people think that I'm riding off his name or using him for that, well, you know, fuck them. What are they doing?
Right, right.
You know, let them go down there and, you know, play for free and do some shows. And, you know, it's always a bunch of old people, but, you know, they love the hell out of it, and that's why I do it.
Exactly. I know that, you know, it was, for me, you know, I think when I first discovered Hank Williams Sr., I was like a freshman in high school, you know, and being in the middle of Illinois, and a freshman in high school, you know, cranking Hank Williams Sr. in the stereo while everybody else is, you know, was cranking Metallica and stuff. It was, you know, because I had a lot of, you know, personal feelings, you know, about the lyrics and stuff, because that's, you know, a lot of people, like, you know, used to be like, well, how can you deal with a twang or whatever, and, you know, I can almost block that out to where, you know, the lyrics are so poetic, and they, you know, it seemed like there wasn't one song that didn't have, that I couldn't relate to, you know what I mean, and so.
So I always tell people, you know, when they don't know anything about Hank Sr., I always tell them, I say, I guarantee you I can find you at least one Hank Sr. song you will like. And usually you can play them one of about four or five, and they'll like one of them for sure.
Right. So I heard when I was down there that you could play every Hank Williams song. Is that true?
As far as I know, at one time I knew them all. I still could. I probably messed up a few of them now because I don't sing them as much as I used to.
Sure.
But yeah, pretty much.
So what is your favorite Hank Williams Sr. song, if you had to pick one?
Cold, Cold Heart.
Cold, Cold Heart. That's a it's a wonderful song. The lyrics in that, mine would be Alone and Forsaken. That's just one song that just you know, every time you just like, man.
And with broken hearts.
Yeah, you know, I want a song that's gonna make me, if you know, make me go to a place. You know what I mean?
Right.
And feel what that person's feeling. And you know, with you know, a lot of the documented history and just the, you know, the things that I know of, you know, in regards to Hank Williams, you know, he didn't hold anything back. I mean, if he felt something, he wrote it in a song. And you know, in still 50, 60 years later, you can listen to that song and know exactly how he felt. And I think that's what real, to me, that's what real country music is.
And that's what's missing from it today.
Right.
Because, you know, 50 years from now, you know, nobody's going to know who in the hell Kenny Chesney was or Tim McGraw.
Exactly. So, do you think, you know, I guess, you know, back when Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings, you know, when they kind of, you know, told Nashville, hey, this is the way we're going to do it, and really, really sacrificed, I think, a lot to do what they wanted to do. You know, they kind of called it the Outlaw Revolution later on. Do you think that there'll ever be another one of those or something like that, or what do you think is going to have to happen for maybe the like you said, the full gamut of country music to be able to be out there for everybody? And
well, I don't know that that'll happen any more than, you know, another Nirvana will come along with another Teen Spirit and revolutionize the rock scene. But, you know, I do think that traditional country will continue to exist. And, you know, if it's underground, it's underground. If it's mainstream, it's mainstream. And all this stuff goes in cycles anyway. So, you know, give it 5 or 10 more years and we'll see where it's at. But I mean, as far as something happening overnight and breaking it, I just think there's too much money and there's too much politics involved for that to happen.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why I was, you know, one of my ideas when I created the show was, you know, to give the Joey Alcorns, to give the, you know, to, you know, kind of expose whatever I could on my end, you know, and because that's just, I'm kind of giving back for a guy who has a guitar that sits there and gets dusty and can play 3 chords, you know what I mean? that's my way of trying to pay back. So, and you do have websites, www.joeyalcorn.com.
Right.
And then you said you can see the tour information there, and you can also purchase your 50 Years Too Late on...
And, of course, on the evil old MySpace.
And that's www.myspace.com/Joey Alcorn.
Right.
So, yeah, have you gotten tired of MySpace yet?
Pretty much. I had to start my site over earlier this year, so just kind of rebuilding it, and, you know, it's just starting over with it. You know, it's good. It's good for what it's for, but I mean, that's just one avenue. You know,
sure.
A lot of bands are building their entire fan base and their entire tours on, you know, MySpace. And, you know, there's a lot of people our age on it, but, you know, there's still a whole other market of people out there to tap that don't even use it.
Definitely. Well, Joey, I appreciate you taking the time out and being on my first episode of It Burns When I Pee. And like I said, I really do appreciate what you're doing and the music that you're making. And like I said, you know, when we met on New Year's Eve and, you know, we sat and had a conversation and stuff, it was really awesome, and you're a good guy. And I really hope for the best for you. And I know if you're going to come up here, you know, I'll definitely be there right in the front row.
We'll look forward to seeing you.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Joey, for being on the show. It's an honor to have you as our first guest here on It Burns When I Pee. And for everybody out there, here we're going to listen to a song off of Joey's new album, 50 Years Too Late. It's song number 7. It's called So Say Goodbye. So, Joey, thanks again for being on the show, and enjoy the track.
You've made it pretty plain to see that you don't want nothing to do with me, and there's no use to try. Hearts get broken either way, so just turn around and walk away. It's over, so say goodbye. So say goodbye. Come true, say goodbye to love we never knew. It's over and it's ended, it's finished and we're done. The whole thing was a lie, so say goodbye. so say goodbye.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to It Burns When I Pee. Again, thank you, Joey, for being on the show. And now I've got a special guest here. He's been heard a lot on Vertebreakers. It's the famous Peter Chestnut. Peter, how are you doing?
I'm doing very good, Blake. Thank you very much.
Thanks. And I heard that you like to tell stories from your personal life on Vertebreakers, and I thought it would be great to have you on the first episode of It Burns With IP and have you give us one of your famous stories. And would you be willing to, do you have one you could probably give us today?
Yeah, I think I could come up with one for you.
Okay, well, I'll turn it over to you. And this is Peter Chestnut and one of his midnight lullabies.
Peter Chestnut here. And back in 2004, I received what I refer to as the Family Guy treatment. Now, what this is I met a girl at a frat party, and I took her back to her place because I don't like to shit where I eat. And so, while I was at her place, we went and we turned on Family Guy, and then we proceeded to make out. While making out, she went down below, so to speak. I even had the covers on top of her, so I didn't have to look at her face. So while I received a blowjob, I was able to watch one of my favorite episodes of Family Guy, entitled Love Thy Trophy, because she was loving mine. And that is Peter Chestnut with Sexual Lullabies.
Peter, another wonderful, outstanding stories. It's amazing that you can make these up just right off the top of your head.
Well, they really didn't happen to me. They happened to a friend of mine. It actually wasn't even a friend of mine. It was a friend of my friends of my friends of mine. So yeah.
Now, do you write these down and keep these, or do they just stick in your memory, or
they stick in my memory. There are certain things you never forget.
Sweet.
First time you rode a bicycle. First blowjob while watching Family Guy.
All right, Peter. Well, hey, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy, busy schedule. And will we be seeing you, hearing you on Vertebreakers anytime soon?
I believe that you will. And I want to thank you, Diane, for letting me on your show.
Diane, okay. Well, thanks again. Thanks again, Peter. It was a pleasure having you, and it was an honor having you on my first show.
Thank you very much.
All right. Hey, and like I always say, make sure you keep your Jimmy wrap so it doesn't burn when you pee.
All right. Will do.
All right. Late. Thanks.
Good night. This is Joey Alcorn. You're listening to It Burns When I Pee.
Okay. Thank you very much. I was glad to talk to Peter and have him come on our show. You can find him on Vertebreakers. He makes appearances there quite a bit. And that pretty much wraps it up for what I got this podcast. And I'd like to, first of all, thank Section 86 for hosting the podcast. Definitely would like to give Joey a shout-out for being the first interview on the show. And I'd like to let everybody know to go out and check his website, www.joeyalcorn.com. And check out his music. I know he's got some shirts and he's got CDs that are available, and he's a really good listen, so it's good to check him out. And of course, we have to thank Peter for taking the time out to be on our show. And like I said, I'd like to really thank the listeners. I'm hoping to do some more podcasts and each one get a little bit better. And just a kind of an incentive for the first person that emails me at itburnswhenip86@gmail.com, you will get an autographed CD of the first episode of It Burns When I Pee. So send any suggestions or comments to the email address, or check us out on MySpace. And I'd like to thank everybody one more time. And it's been great. And like I said, I'm hoping each one of these gets better and better. And I can only do that with your help and suggestions. So Cheyenne, take it away. Good night, everybody.
It Burns When I Pee was taped at Get Your Hank On Studios and was brought to you by 86 Productions. make sure to visit www.section86.com and check out their other podcast, Vertebraker. This is Cheyenne signing off saying, keep that jimmy wrapped and it won't burn when you pee. And remember, everyone, send your questions and comments to itburnswhenip86@gmail.com and visit us at MySpace, www.myspace.com/itburnswhenip86. We would love to hear from you.
Cheyenne, get your ass back in the trailer.
This one boy started running, thought he could get away. They put the dogs out on him and they caught him anyway. The sheriff said, boy, I've done got you best. And now I'm gonna put a hole through your chest. You can keep your hammer, I'll swing my ball and chain, cause I'm a lifetime member of the Alabama Chain Gang. It's hotter than hell in the middle of July. Another boy fell out, somebody said he died. If that's the case, the warden will be mighty satisfied. You can keep your hammer, I'll swing my ball and chain, cause I'm a lifetime member of the Alabama Chain Gang.